first poem is a bit of a tribute to Van Morrison music and just the survival of the body, even though the time to take it out. So, pretty conscious. I just call it breathing. You're breathing, not living. Spewed from the bed by habit. Wonder where you're already given with a high wind, such as space hums between you and what they call world. You don't live as you love, or where hearts could breathe, or where smiles rise to the surface more readily than fears. Why do you wander this cognitive desert, pulse strumming the rhythm of an order you can't fathom, gasping from oasis to mirage, lost as the unexamining sky? In a time of achievement, you're staring out the window at a shivering tree, working in a too-big job, putting on a face and the air of success, when you regret every damned minute of your unimportance, the hours spent waiting for life to drop in. Those moony pub nights, the drools and delusions you get energy to. You fight and get nowhere quick, no hour like the last, no one reflecting because where is your face? And these love acts between you and the mechanical substitute, because it's not your time. Is it ever your time? But time is manicky tapping, not knocking, joking at your expense, that inhuman groove playing as you inch daily towards the void. The dog needs walking, another drag. Stick the earphones in the iPod, hope the battery at least is charged. Here's the same old limited path, rabbits scurrying from the enemy scent, trees going up and out, who cares? The last green enclave from miles, nature in a nutshell. Press a button, and a split second says with an upbeat drum that something is about to move, is about to cross. To the bright side of the road, Van Morrison can help you if you can. Or your lightened arms, or your suddenly fucked it all body that says by itself, let those others think what they want, let them look nervously away, because what is there to lose except this moment in the morning air, dancing to the only accompaniment on the bright side of the dark latter, on all sides sun, because, well, because you're breathing. Physicists look for a unified theory of everything, and I suppose poets are all about unifying and connectedness. So this is a small treatment of that notion of universal unity, unified field. For one moment when you express the thought, when the hard chatter of your tongue turns to silver silk and slides you to the wind, for a moment when the air inhales you, and you rest in its transparency like a thought you don't know you're thinking, wouldn't you live this jacket of light? For one moment when saffron bursts from your belly like a letter sun, and you know how it feels to be a thousand spheres of light, for a space out of time, the ocean of all the tenses beneath you with its nauseous waves, and you a cap on those waves, blowing off. Wouldn't you stick this sucking earth? And when, in the last heave, you've gone to ground, scattered ash to dust, down with ocean bed bones, isn't that the same as expressing the source? Supersonic silk, thought without thinking, morning saffron, the absence of tense, a cap taken by a breeze. Whatever about universal unity, unity between two people is quite a different matter and a complex matter, and I think many marriages are like this that I describe in the next poem, and whether it's a tragedy or not, I suppose it depends on how you look at it, which is called Indulgent Anger. I place my palm against your back in passing. I'm feeling generous today, and my fingers almost touch the nape of your neck. You used to like it when I stroked you there, a long time ago, before the air between us froze, and left us trapped like forgotten mountaineers, eyes open but expressionless, hands in a parody of reach across the great translucent divide. I can't remember when we stopped the struggle and let the colour fade to glaze. But I recall a moment when my cheeks were wet and I didn't know this victim's heart or this body with no hope for the one that heaved and rippled at the breezes that your hands could conjure up. There was too much pain. I let it. All desire is frozen now. Veins within this misty box. Prehistory. The flesh has loosened from the bone. Don't touch it. All the mirror shows is time. Still, my hand upon your covered shoulder and our bodies close. The double bed we've never cut in half. Our comforts we can offer without rancor, free. I'm sure we're a story in the silent sky. Some stellar logic to it all. My fingers roots that trail us to the soil. Indulgent amber, framing us in place. Thank you. I grew up embedded in nature, effectively, and most of my time was spent walking the fields. But I've never written a nature poem. And when I was thinking why, I think possibly one of the reasons is that there was no one with me to name what I was seeing. So it didn't occur to me to name what I was seeing. It wasn't something to be named, perhaps it was that, or it could have been the fact that sometimes nature gets boring and you want to leave and go to the city for the life. But however, this I think is a nature poem, or a sort of a nature poem. I was walking by the river near where I live one day, and the sun happened to glint on the surface of the water. It sounds like I'm making it up, but that's what happened, and I thought I'd never seen this river before, and it seemed to have a personality. I'm not sure if this poem gets it, but this is the poem. The River Ward flows near Swords, and the word Ward is actually an anticipation of Bar. Yes, the River Ward sees my eyes. I cast my eyes in the river, and the river flowed on. It flowed straight, it flowed askew. It flowed past the daisies and the broken ash, past the leafless tree, past willows, past the boys with the cans and the girls with the fags, past the old men and the dogs, past the women on their unison walks, past rabbit burrows and badgers' noses, past the furs and its golden purses, past the sinewy lane that never at midnight, past wood whistles and fiddles, past the curses, the sweet papers, past the bonfires, past the cider bottles and the bad plans, under the wooden bridge, under the stone bridge, through Monday, through Friday night. I cast my eyes in the river, and the river flows on. It flows straight, it flows askew. It flows past the castle and the ancient church, past the rowan tree, past Hazel, past the houses on the crest, and the council of state, past the tall men and the squat, past stone of centuries and baby oak, past dog rolls and stripping fuchsia, past the mango fox by starlight, past the abandoned trolleys and burnt out cars, past costume rings and bracelets, past the white thorn and black thorn, past the fairy hill, past the spooning couples and the hot hands, over the bike wheel, around the rusting car, through sunset, through winter snow. I cast my eyes in the river, and the river flows on. It flows straight, it flows askew. It flows past the runners on the cross knees, past blown leaves, past petals, past the meeting of friends and the nights we forgot, past the dour days and the witch, past the picnic and the library book, past final exams and parent tackles, past tomorrows and planned conversations, past flood and slow dances, past sudden goodbyes, past tall thistles and brambles, past the swallows and blue tits, past the jackdaws, past the bite the flood made on the new path, over the dead man, under the low clouds, through funeral with summer bells. I cast my eyes in the river, bubbles in the river, cast my eyes in the river, and the river flowed on. You must imagine a day like today, very hot and a very lonely country road. Now, where we lived wasn't exactly miles from a town, but there was practically no traffic and led back into the deeper, darker part of Western Road. But on this road, there were three houses very close together, and I, as the younger, always dressed up in pretend games. This is called The Beating. It is a stretched and vacant day, poised as a bullseye. Under the sky's big top, all that was missing were clowns, a high trapeze, two elephants, three Pomeranian dogs, a lion, two tigers, a family of gymnasts from Czechoslovakia who also did the Tonto Act, a ringmaster's business. Mistress of the centre ring, I queened it over bluebells and buttercups. I played conductor to the great green grass and made it play a fanfare as I skirted the scorching tar, knees high, back straight, toes diving down. Once in an hour a car would pass and I would suddenly sit, take a blade of grass and shred it, pensive as a cat with a dead cat. For 5 minutes I forgot my public and parade and stood at our neighbour's gate, staring at the curtains. Mrs. wore her hair streaming, like a princess thrown from the castle, left wandering forever without a comb or a pill to lay it under. She told us she had been beautiful, had kept her trousseau in a lined drawer in her father's careful house, but had married a serpent in disguise. Earlier she had sat in our house and darned my brother's sock, my mother's youth, Ruth, to make her worried woman's hands seem useful. She told us he'd finish her off when he came home, beating the badness out of her, that's what he said he was doing, an amateur exorcist, circumventing men in black. How do they train the circus animals? Pretty palm dog becomes puppet, the elephant a pet, the tiger a calm opponent. Whack! On a reliable witness, an instrument was used, the leg of a chair, I believe she said, and a scream, and a whack. The curtain swayed as if about to start a show. The circus ended, still dazed. The sullen girl with tender hair wandered the ground where the caravan stood, looking for a boy with black eyes and graveled skin. A crumpled and discarded ticket became the souvenir she stuffed like an insole in her ringmaster's boots before she turned away. Thank you. This is a poem based on a Cork woman whose husband was working on an oil rig, not in the Irish Sea. It's called Photograph. Her husband's hunk is out on the Irish Sea, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off an oil rig. He turns black out there, comes home like a model, a silent sheen on his midnight skin. White piano keys his teeth are then. She plays them like a maestro, only with her tongue. A moonlight song. She's tried the undie in the pocket trick. It could be anyone's, no matter what it says. Letting on her dumb stores laced with Michelle Pfeiffer's, he could be moving to the wrong shoe. Lethal. It's only seagulls he could have, but she's still not the green. The wind that shimmies on his arm, the sheet on top, the working clothes that cling to his body damp, the tools that lie panting in his hands. She wants them all, ravened by the black tide, and only him and her on the platform above the swell, Noah and wife, all over again. A blue background, asked Hugo Finn, photographer. Yes, she said, and soft focus, dreamlike. The blue brings out the colour of your eyes. Relax, he said. She leans her shoulders back on the kitten soft shade lung and wonders if that's what he meant. That's what he said. Now don't be shy. Pretend it's Valentine's Day and he's come home with flowers for his love. Do you think I'm silly? No, he said. I think that Peter Burke's a lucky man. She's glowing now, vermilion inside, eyes ripe, swollen grapes, breast aglaze with sweat. What about a risque touch? One hand under the head, the other on your hip. Look, like this. He draped her fingers over her curves like lace, a white glove against the black. Her skin quivered. Sculpture fit for a boulevard is what his hands are saying. Pulling back her hair, brushing bright on her biceps as he goes. He straightens her shoulder strap and blows away a wispy strand. They laugh. Then back behind the lens, he's knitting goddesses of her, the loving ones. Frame by frame, she dawns a little more. Her mythic tail, printed, exposed and printed in her eyes, impressed upon her skin, as sure and resolute as the 3x3 her husband's hump would hold. There is something about the road of the studio that's really quite like different things, I think. Better. The Native Americans like to contact their totem animal at some point in their life, so preferably around puberty, which I think is probably a very positive thing to do. It probably connects you with your evolutionary source. The elements, but I wasn't looking for a totem animal when this dream came, but it did seem to represent aspects of my life at the time. And the interesting thing about this dream was that the week after I had it, the dream was of a wolf, I saw a documentary on television about two lone wolves who had been thrown out of their packs by their and they were wandering alone, each wandering alone through most of the winter. Until by chance they managed to find each other, get together, and they went back to the male pack and took over. And it was just quite interesting that that came a week after I had this vision. It's called Dream of a Yellow Wolf. Her face is close to mine. I can see how she got here, how she worked her way through the wood with unrested scent, hiding and finding food. Although her pack don't want her, she survives. She carries their rejection in the deeper burrows of her fur, letting it discolour her only a little. She has learned being timid was never the way to gain respect. When the desire takes her, she'll kill without thought, then rest featherless in the clearing. Her fur is dirty yellow, nothing to be vain about. She could save but for two things, her love of new kill and her body's manic clinging to itself. She knows she's a killer, that he's to free for kindness the odd time to a human or a bird. She doesn't stress that she wasn't born generous. And I know there are many people in the kind of crisis that the next point I do with. But often when you experience failure in your life, there is a fear that it's history you're giving yourself. Quite a big fear. This is called turning point. That was the year his father grew into his bones, up to the marrow like a liquid sheath that hardened and stretched the bones. The living craft died in his spinal core, made an angle at his waist, and flattened his feet as though they were hobnailed bones. His skin renewed itself, slower, but much as before. Only Rona noticed how his forehead tightened when another bill got floored. Stiff in the morning, shuffling in slippered feet, the smallest issue, a spillage of milk, broke the back of his mustard will to cope. It was a year of strikes and sudden mouth disease, when funeral pyres turned to air slate and farms became silent compounds. Nothing ran. Buses and trains stood mute. Cars and trucks lurked at the border, cornered like insects by the sprayed, sterile advance. Dot-com companies failed. Thousands owed, every day more letting go. The flood came, swallowed the bank of the river and spat it out. The path ended in a new place, and winter was the longest snow for years. She saw the sense in all the manic sleeping, and so did he. A natural wisdom where deep-rooted things survive, and everything unstable in its time. Still, when his own dream burned, his father's effigy grinned in the fire's eye. The famed farm of his childhood, his parents' retreat into the dark corners of the house, the slit dipped through the triptych, and he stood at the door, rubbing his forehead. Not age, but history was turning him over. The cruel weed, brandishing its foot. Actually, I think I'm going to do a poem I'm talking about today, but I wasn't thinking of doing it. It's a summer poem. It's called Best, and I'm 1st of May, and I say I hadn't intended to do it, so I hope I remember it. The central character of this is a Cork fan also, and I suppose it's about, it's written for the 1st of May, which is one of the four Celtic fire festivals, which is dedicated to Baal, the god of the sun, which is why it's called Beltane, the fire of Baal, or Bel. And I suppose in some ways, in most of the ways it speaks for itself, it has that sort of summer feel and the notion of, well, the nights and carnivals and all that sort of thing. That's what it is. God, where the butchers open at the neck, cause it's summertime. He stares at my breast over one cup of tea, wishing all of the niceties were over. God is a manager. He makes decisions in the milk co-op. He's not a talker and he doesn't realize that people need more than assumptions. But sometimes he's right. Because deep in my stomach there's no voice to say that his open shirt is all I need. And his smooth bare chest is what's on my tongue when I eat my donut queen. And he's right to believe that he's needed here because I'm in my summer dress. And the bare legs are meeting just beneath the stick, and the slightest touch would make them arch and tingle, sweat and snake and spread and take, and the open pores of my body part want to fill up, fill up, fill up, fill up. To my flat, it doesn't look much, but God never minded that. You see, the way we meet isn't on the ground. Doesn't matter where we live or what our interests are, because we're man and woman, girl and boy, the essence of summer and rutting in the long grass. So, even though we're inside where he lifts me up, I'm out in the fields with the fuller cup. I could take his smell and pour him dry. My old male panther, country boy. It reminds me of the pure, dry nights outside the marquee with a fresh-faced kisser, a tongue in my mouth, shy hands beside my breast, desiring all this innocence into stress. He takes off my summer dress. I take off his white shirt. His kisses are slow like I remember how, and he wants me. What you have to know, the world began and ended here with him kissing and stroking and soaking my ears, kissing his eyes. No need for directions to the places of joy. Make my mouth swell, make my breath laugh loud, make my skin sing jokes to my pleasure shroud. He touches me there, he meets me there, holding my face in his flaming hand. My soul is enough. His is a fire, he keeps me and melts me and makes me fly in that breathing temple where our fears unite. And then we die. God is a white shirt, silking me over in the balmy night, washing me down in his simple way, the blaze in my heart The blaze in my heart that will always stay true to the light you brought in with you. From the fire on the hill that's leaping like a bird, yellow and red and purple and blue. From the soul of the world and the light of life. Oh God! Every so often one writes about something very small, the poet, like, say for example, the creation of the world, which this poem is about. from the point of view, simply, of a particle, which becomes form, which develops language, and which then tries to write about the creation of the world. The Big Bang, which of course is impossible. Did I say Big Bong?
Big Bang.
The title of the poem is Big Bong. And actually, whichever way you want to think that, Bong, it actually works. Big Bong. In thunder comes the breath of outer space. A ringing bell with bell ring never reached. The deadline for departure is no day, nowhere precisely, on no day, a stray event, a chance to be a finite sum. The noise makes nothing clear, says nothing safe, and every hold is blown with irritation. The nowhere always sucking in has stopped. Full lung is pain, and pain is endless sound. It gets so thick and hot no tube can last. We make the spew of no direction home. The flow, we're here, and home to caravan. Collision, quake, we knock spots off our face that rises us and make our sin pass. We look at where and how far we're away. We make relations, see how big we bear. Around, a wheeling, make a pattern sing. The same old thing, we like the same old thing. We all the sang, but never thought the tune was measured and repeated, fugue on fugue. Our knowing is a no to knowing, no division between being and the void. We'd go back to it. All of us would mush if stages didn't push the soil apart. Volcanoes didn't burst and storms descend. Slim rains go shadow battling. Sun go gold. Dry flora grow a half an inch of soil. New babies buried honey on the hive. A thunder takes the inside. And the eyes become a way to eat. The husk to hide. The smallest thing looks outside for itself. Reflections of its manner and its mind. Enemies will die, come eat their flesh, one bite is innocence dissolved, to run again as hunger and the jabbing spear. To represent the provenance, the touch, the lurch, the burst, unbearable in joy, slip sore and never feel again, make ecstasy a prime noetic thing, too large to hold, too large to let it go, in spread a map amongst the fold of all. We venture into darkness and we draw conclusion, build a hall with massive rise. We've known division, we create again, a mirror of our fears and our dream. Live in beneath enormous roofs that vaunt and slay, and play the part of some third reach that thinks it touches glory with a bell. I'm just going to do a few short poems now to finish. The poems I made tonight, most of them are from my new collection, When the Air Inhales You. The second part of the collection is a requiem sequence for my sister, who died rather suddenly and violently 3 years ago. And in 6 months after her death, I wrote these poems. Let's say there are 22 short poems, so I'd like to do a few for you here. The News. The phone has grown huge and heavy in my hand. Perilous outcrop of a new reality where nothing is close, not even the air. Hear the acid light that turns the vision strange. Hear the featureless stretch of a dry salt lake. Here nothing grows except bad news. In the morgue. Life floods at your face with its untimed tide. Your eyes glistened like jumping fish. It spelled your name wrong. Maybe it isn't you. There's not a feature I recognize. My hand poised above your face, I peer, trying to find one familiar patch of skin. You're a marble statue someone didn't like. through a fall of tears. I touch your hair. My hand swims in its silk, and I stroke it goodbye. But the event with you has gone already. A stream eaten by a caustic landscape, leaving nothing for the pilgrim but stone. Modest. Now that you're not here, these yellow walls of yours are paper thin. That fantasy picture you love is just a print. You own no originals, though you talk art. Your jewellery would cost you nothing worth more than €50. Your clothes, which I thought classy, are mostly Marks and Spencers, no designer items. This, then, is your life. One of longings and magpie brightness, frugality in a fancy jar. But the smile, the listening head, the talk, the hands, these hang in the air, indelible, prismic, precious, of diamonds. Raw. Hot water stings, jewelry bites, clothes grate me like cheese. Sleep is too silent, talk too intense, walking is shifting pin. This week I'm so cold I need winter clothes. Why is it you work to me? A wrap for my shoulders, a moisture cream, the oil in my bones. No happy returns. They don't come back. I have yet to see the face of an ancestor wink and mutter on the wall, or shimmy through a door like a sword fight through silk. They will not be watching you while you sleep, guiding your working hands, or keeping you from mistakes. If you have a guardian angel, they're not it. They are not the butterfly on the coffin, the bird at your window, or the fly you can't get out of your room. They are not the newborn baby or the shiver in your spine. That person of flesh who walked and spoke, the now silent person, that alone was your beloved. The most profound mystery is that she's gone. Cage speed. Smiling came easy to you. You couldn't cry. You said the tears were stored somewhere inside, in a room long closed. That caused you pain, of soldiering through. All those unshed tears bulging with a caged sea. I thought of a smile as a witch's moon breaking the face blue at night. A toboggan ride you can't stop, a leap into the chasm without a parachute. Smiling now, I wonder if I'm burning you into the night sky, or sending you off the mountain like a stray stone. And the last one, 6 months later, is called the company. You grow from the air in fine cafes, summoned by art, as the forms of the great rise from the landscape and retell it. You're here at my left side, head forward, examining things, wanting to be part, always wanting in. The music is Chopin, the light Van Gogh. Your empathy a distant teacher's one, inclined to help regardless. The elements have taken you back, as though the air has breathed you in. The cafe is in Amsterdam. A gay woman makes eyes at me. I want to tell you. And also, that these tears are not made of water, but of light, pattern, space, form, and are beautiful, because everything natural is everything else. Thank you very much.